One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
You have your Bible, turn with us tonight to that passage of Scripture over in the book of Deuteronomy. This passage finds its way into the Bible in three very definite and plain places. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy is the forget-me-not book, but the people forgot God anyhow. I want to speak to the men in Radio Land and the men and boys in this church. Now, the first thing in the way of human life that was ever made was a man. God originated man. And I believe that man was made just like the Bible said. I don't think he started off as a tadpole. I don't think he started off as a little mud cell. He lives in the mud, to good he'll look like, but he had to go back to the mud. He wasn't made in the mud. And last night, Danny told us about this experiment, the narcotic institution that got a monkey. Got a monkey addicted to dope. And to me, it's kind of a pitiful thing that when they'd come with their needle, the little monkey'd come up and, if he got addicted, and throw up his arm, said, "Give me my shot. I want some dope." But you know what? You never know, and you've never heard of a monkey getting on dope unless some man had been monkeying with him. I mean, a monkey's got too much sense. I mean, did you know that man is the highest form of God's creation and yet lives the lowest of any creation? That's just the truth. And listen, the thing is, I was interested about that when that monkey was brought off of that dope, no doubt he went through some withdrawal. I mean, he suffered, but when he got off of that stuff, and he saw him come back around with a needle, do you think he showed up? He went over in the opposite part of the cage and said, "I've had it. I mean, y'all just keep that filth. Don't stick no more of those needles in me. Now I'm delivered." I got deliverance from that stuff, see? And yet, man never gets delivered unless he gets to Jesus. Never does. A monkey can. A monkey just come off of it, and you separate him from it for a while, and he said, I'm not going to be as crazy as people and get back on it. And yet we talk about man coming from a monkey. We talk about man coming from an ape. There's no form of creation on the face of this earth that's as sour as man or as mean as man without God. I said without God. And tonight, fellas, I'm going to have to drop the hammer on me and on you. This world is in the end time, final stages of decay because of men, not women. God bless their hearts. I feel sorry for them. There's many a broken-hearted woman in this city and across this land. And I'll promise you this, that the women never did smoke until the men got them started. Fact is, I think the men could make the women stop smoking today if the men would just be men. And I don't know of a woman anywhere that wouldn't like to be married to a real man. I mean, just somebody that'd stand and be decent and godly and respectable and honest and upright. I just believe most any woman would like to have a husband like that. But you know, I got news for you, dear sisters. You won't find one like that anymore unless he's been in touch with heaven. I know of no man that you can trust these days or any other days that hasn't given his heart to Jesus. Because Paul said, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And then he said, make no provisions for the flesh. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. You pray for me tonight, because there are a lot of things on my heart I want to say. In the third verse, 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now then, he said, I want to prove to you right now in the book of Deuteronomy, in this day in which he had that recorded, he said, I want you to know that man cannot live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now I want you to start off with me tonight, fellas. No man is really living tonight in this city unless he's living by the word of the Lord. Same thing Jesus said, the words that I speak unto thee, they're what? Spirit and life. I came that you might have life. How? Through the word. Through the word. Why, he said, speak the word only. He'll be all right. He sent his word and healed them. The word of God in the book of Proverbs shall become health to your flesh. F-L-E-S-H, flesh. I believe the health book is the Bible. I believe the health food's found in the Bible. I read again the dietary laws of the Bible today. And I'll guarantee you they still hold too. God didn't tell us to eat this bunch of scavenger animals that's running loose in the country to eat up the dead stuff on earth, and yet man got to eating them. And that's the reason he's got cancer. That's the reason he's so sick tonight. We've gone away from God's plan. God's got a plan for the home, a plan for the church, a plan for the individual. He's got a plan for eating. He's got a plan for sleeping. He's got a plan for drinking. He's got a plan for everything. And when you get out of order with God, you've asked for it, and Mother Nature is sure going to send the bill. You put her down. Mother Nature will send the bill every time. You can violate some things, and you can get by the FBI, and you can get by the police and the sheriff, but I'll guarantee you, you'll never get by God and Mother Nature. You can violate these physical laws if you want to, but I'll guarantee you the bill's coming. The bill's coming. Now then, turn with me, please. You know these are twin verses, and all the time I've read the Bible, I never did connect them until today. You know, that's the reason I just got to keep reading every day. I just wouldn't ever learn anything, because I know so little now. And I've just got to learn a lot more. That's the reason I'm memorizing one chapter every 30 days, see? And I mean the rest of my life, I want to memorize one chapter every 30 days. And I'm going to hide it away in my heart and my life. I can go to bed and don't turn on the light. I can quote chapter after chapter. I go to sleep at night usually quoting a chapter. And I tell you, it's just wonderful. You know, the psalmist said, now lay me down in peace and sleep. And I got to think about that. What is that? That's Jesus. I lay me down in Jesus and go to sleep. Because he's our peace. The Bible said so. Thou keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. What did he say? He'll keep in perfect peace if you keep your mind on what? The word of God. People running races to drugstores, taking a bunch of these dope pills called tranquilizers and sleeping pills and all that kind of junk. Well, come on, Christian friends. We have no right to lean on a bunch of junk like that. Amen? Listen, if God's alive today, let's prove it. He said man cannot live but bread alone. Now then, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, it's written. Now then, there's a contest going on. There's a real contest. The Battle of Armageddon's raging. I mean, this is where Jesus had his Armageddon, right here. I mean, as soon as Jesus got out of the baptistry, he was led up of the Spirit. And brother, when you get out of the baptistry, you ought to be led up by the Spirit. That's right. And don't you think, I hear people say, well, brother, well, you know, I tell you, I really been surprised. I really been said, you know, since I give my heart to Jesus, said, I mean, it's been rough. I mean, I thought it'd be a lot easier. No, you just got in the war. I mean, you just really got in the battle. You was dead till then. I mean, you just volunteered. I mean, you just got recruited. You just put on the uniform, and then you thought the devil wasn't going to shoot at you? Well, I tell you, the devil's not dead, neither's God dead. But he's being tested after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was what? Afterward, hungered. He got hungry after the fast was over, see? And so, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it's written. Now, you want to notice, he said in Matthew chapter 4, and Luke chapter 4 and 4. That's right, 4:4. Brother, that's the 44s that the Lord, that Jesus used. You know, I've been interested in locating 44s. You know, when I was a kid, people had an old 44, you know, big old pistol. Had a big old 44. Boy, I thought that's the biggest gun ever made or ever would be made. And people say, look at that 44. Well, brother, I tell you, we got some 44s. You know, there's a 44 in 1 John 4:4. That he that's in you is greater than he's in the world. That's my 44. And look here, Jesus pulled a 44 on him, didn't he? He really did. He pulled his 44 out and said, it's written. It's written. And he said that. And listen, when Jesus Christ shot the devil 3 times with his 44, I'll guarantee you that wound him up. Man, he beat it through the bushes and headed for hell's doctor. That's right. He said, man, I'm telling you, I got the worst end of that. And dear friend, I want you to know this. The devil is a defeated foe today. He cannot, I said, he cannot. You know, I've got a friend here in the service tonight, and he gave me a little card. He's from up in the Chattanooga way, Signal Mountain. I like this. Preventing crime by presenting Christ. Well, that's the only answer to crime. You know what makes a criminal out of a man? The devil? Sin! That lovely little old couple got up here having a good time with God's people. Why, the thing that led them into trouble was sin. Sin, the devil. Listen, the devil's the daddy of everything bad in this city. You know, I went down in all these white buildings you got down here. I got to thinking, my, at the millions of dollars you've got to spend. You talk about a crime bill, we've got it. You talk all those offices. I went into a number of them today. You think of the money that we're spending mopping up after the liquor crowd. I saw those fellas out the jail, and they said, and they just said, listen, could you help me get off of cigarettes and liquor? I mean, if you could help me, that's my only trouble. Said I could. I said, no, that's a result of your trouble. Your trouble, you don't know Jesus. He said, could you take me off? You take me off somewhere and keep me about a year. Said, take me a year and just get me off away from it. And said, I just wish I could get around nothing but Christian people. And if I could just get around God's people and be around nobody but God's people. Well, I tell you what, that's going to be a hard place to find, isn't it? I mean, the devil got his young'uns running loose everywhere, hadn't he? But I'm thankful to God we've got poems. And I tell you, the devil don't hang around there because he'll fight all he can. But once they get the victory, out goes the devil. And it's a place of clean living and consecrated, dedicated living. So Jesus said 3 times, it is written. It is written. It is written in Matthew 4, Luke 4, and defeated the devil. Now go with me, please, to the book of Genesis chapter 1. We better find out where this fella came from. I mean, did man actually, was he made by the Lord? Let's see what he said. Verse 26, chapter 1, and God said, there it is again. Did you know that every time you read the word, thus saith the Lord, or God said, you know what that is? That's Jesus. He's God's Word. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And every time you look in the Bible, it said, and God said, that's Jesus. That's Jesus right there. That's what God said. I mean, the Bible said over in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God has spoken unto us in these last days how? By His Son, Jesus Christ. And you know, that's one reason I love this book is because all of it is Jesus. I mean, that's just the Lord. I mean, that's it. It's Jesus. And so he said, and God said, let us make man, how? In our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, man got off to a good start because God made him in his own image. And God breathed into man the breath of life. That's God's breath. And he became a living soul. Man is different from anything that's ever been created. Now, sorry to say, and at least by faith and in sight, you can see that man has lost the image of God. So therefore, Jesus came and died that we might regain the image of God. And I can only be like my Heavenly Father as Jesus makes me like that. And every man without Christ in his heart bears no image of God tonight. Somebody came up to me, my daddy went to be with the Lord. And somebody said, Lester, one of my cousins said, I tell you, one of my nephews said, you're just like Uncle Harry. You look just like your dad. Well, I'm supposed to favor my dad. He's my daddy. And I can see it myself. I guarantee I look in the mirror and it reminds me of my dad. Time and tide wait for no man. And fellas, what we do, we better get at right now. And I believe, and this is my hope, that as I grow older, I may not hit as many licks, but I ought to hit a better lick and a straighter lick for God. And I've been memorizing a portion of the 91st Psalm. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall do what? They shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to prove or to show that the Lord is upright and there's no unrighteousness in Him. You know, one of the reasons I want to be a Christian, I'm glad I'm a Christian, is that when I get old and a little more wrinkled and more bald and the world says, I don't believe I could use you, God says, I won't forsake you in the time of old age. I'll be with you. I'm glad. My dad used to kid me. He said, because I was sort of the clown in the family, see, and I kept something going all the time. Sometimes it's the wrong thing, and he had to set me straight. But, I mean, I caused a good deal of laughing around our place, and my daddy said, son, I tell you, I believe you're going to be an actor. Sure as the world. I believe you're going to turn out to be a clown. But listen, I'm glad that I found something that I don't have to act about. This is real. I mean, it's changed my life. Of course, later on, he found out that it was real, too. My daddy used to come hear me preach. He'd sit over there by my mother. And, oh, when I'd lambast that Prince Albert tobacco that he had in his pocket. And every once in a while, if he prospered, he'd get a package of Chesterfields, you know. And that's back before the doctors came out against them, see. That's before everybody got warned about how this died. 600 people die with cancer every day, you see. And so, because of cigarettes and tobacco. And I don't understand, I really don't understand how in the world we can continue to license or legalize anything that'll kill as many people as being killed. We haven't got enough sense to fill a thimble. I mean, why in the world anything that's as deadly and as damnable and as diseased, sharing as that thing is. But you know what? Our trouble is the men, folks. I thought I had something here. Yeah, here it is right here. You can't believe this, but it's so. I don't want to believe it. 35 years ago, if he'd said that, they'd have defrocked him. They'd have kicked him plumb out of his denomination. But there's a lot of strange things going on today in the name of religion. I want you to know this. Notice this. This came to me. Drink together and stay sober. Advice to parents. And since it's in the paper, I'll just read it to you. Controversial, perhaps, but far from wrong, according to Bishop, who contends that tolerance of alcohol and intemperance in its use don't always go hand in hand. And he said that the families ought to get together in the living room and drink together. We ought to reduce the drinking age to 18 for boys. This is Bishop. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's the devil's bishop. I tell you, we need to expose a bunch of outfits like that. What do you expect of the people when so-called preachers with the clergyman's clothes on gets up and begins to recommend drinking for the people, and yet he goes on to say, notice in the same article, each alcoholic affects the lives of at least 20 people around him, his family, friends, and business associates. He also says that elaborating on American drinking habits, said 2 out of 3 adults drink at least occasionally, 2 out of 3. 2 out of 3 adults are drinking liquor today. Now then, he's recommending that those adults get that liquor and take it home and get those little children and teach them while they're little bitty fellas. And already they've come out recommending that they teach temperance in the schools. Teach little children, just like one got up, I think, in this area. And he said, liquor, alcohol is God's gift to man. Well, man, that guy's going backwards. That's the devil's gift to man. And I'm only preaching like our forefathers preached and like our righteous men preached, like the old prophets preached a long time ago. In it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. They had to put on an enlargement campaign in hell to take care of the business of liquor when they began to drink. You'd say you don't believe that? It's old Bob Jackson many years ago. Back in the days of the saloons, and I like to give some of these things because there was a time when preachers really stood. I mean, they said this nation was clean in mind of something, and they could pray through, and they could stop a war, too. They could stop a war like 1918. They stopped the war like that when the women started praying. America got in 1918, November 11th, the thing came to a screeching halt, didn't it? Why? I tell you, we had a bunch of prayer closet mamas. They wasn't sitting down in the beauty parlor smoking a cigarette and getting a new wig or getting a new color on the top, brother. Praise God. They were praying. And we need women like that today. And we'd have them like that if you men put your feet down and act like men instead of Casper Milk Toast. Say with me now. We need this message tonight. This nation needs. We need some men tonight. You turn. Old Bob Jackson sent a letter into the preacher. And a gift was in it of $50. Boy, that's a pretty big gift back in those days. He sent a big gift. And the secretary said to the preacher, a man of God said, we got $50 from Bob Jackson and his liquor store. And he said, hand it to me. So he got in his car and drove down to the place and walked in and said, Mr. Jackson, I'm so-and-so. He said, yes, I just sent you a gift for your work. I believe in what you're doing. He said, I just brought it back to you. Ain't that stupid? That's what the world says. The world says. He said, I can't take that. Bob Jackson said, I'd like to know why you can't take it. I want to help some things that are good. He said, Mr. Jackson, they had to put on an enlargement campaign in hell because of your business. He said, I can't take it. Old Bob Jackson looked at that preacher and said, look here, preacher. You ought not to say anything you couldn't back up with the scripture. Well, he said, will you be at church tonight and I'll preach on it? And he said, I'll be there. He put on his Sunday clothes and shined his shoes and sat down in the church. And the preacher got up and said, tonight I call your attention to the 5th chapter of the book of Isaiah, chapter 5. Verse 11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the vial, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. There it is. They had to have an enlargement campaign in hell because of the liquor traffic. And yet the preachers are hand in hand, many of them, with the liquor business today. They vote wet, they live wet, and they have no convictions. But I'll promise you one thing. When this old nation started out, every man of God stood flat-footed against the liquor traffic. Every man of God. When I started preaching, you couldn't find any kind of a preacher in any of our communities that wouldn't take a stand against liquor traffic. And if I came up in election, he'd go vote a dry ticket. Dear friends, I may have a lot of things to answer for, and I no doubt will. Praise God, whatever I've done, I put under the blood that's wrong. But I tell you one thing, I'll never be charged with condoning or endorsing liquor traffic in any way on the face of this earth. It's of the devil. It's always been of the devil. The word alcohol, A-L-G-H-O-U-L, which means Al Ghul. That's the word that started off, and that means the devil. That's what it means, Al Ghul. Brother, it makes people act like the devil. There's more broken homes tonight and more shattered hopes and more cheated children. They're fed by that nefarious liquor traffic that's come under the license and legalization of the American people. And I tell you, and I'll say what I said yonder, when President Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed his name to the liquor bill, I said, that spells doom for our nation. And I'll guarantee you we're closer to it than we've ever been tonight. Every nation that ever died, died drunk, and you know it. France and all the rest of them died in their liquor and soaked and saturated with their alcoholic brain. And the Bible said the drunkard shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's right. Brother, I tell you, people come to me all the time and they say, now, Brother Olaf, do you believe that a man can be a Christian and be a drunkard? How could he be? If a man's a Christian, he go to heaven. But the Bible said a drunkard can't go to heaven, so how could a drunkard be a Christian? The Bible said in Romans chapter 5, sin shall not have dominion over you. Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body Then if a man's an alcoholic or a dope addict, how in the world could he be saved when he's completely conquered and captured by the dope or the liquor or the sin? How could he be a Christian? I don't believe we have the right to make loopholes for people. If you're a drunkard here tonight, you're going to hell when you die. You're on your way right now. The only thing that's keeping you out of hell right now is the brittle cord of God's mercy. And one breath at a time and one heartbeat, you're going to hell if you're a drunkard. You put her down. You say, where'd you get that? I just gave it to you right out of the Word of God. Why don't you believe it? If you don't want to go to hell, ask Jesus, come in your heart, and he'll deliver you. We need men that'll be sober and clean. These motels and hotels, people, they look forward to the close of the day. To do what? To go in and drink and drink. And I'd say that the biggest enemy the motel's got today in uncleanness are the inebriates that get that way on liquor. They disturb more people. They upset more people. They'll foul up the carpet in the room and burn more cigarette holes in the bed clothing than anybody else. And you know who the litter bugs are of your city? It's the beer guzzlers. You'll find more beer cans. I know, I've been walking. You'll find more beer cans along on your lawn and along the side. They have no respect for God and duty or anything else. Why? They're full of the devil. We need some clean men. I mean, men that'll be clean. All right? Hello? So many scriptures in the Bible have to do with men. But you know, he said, I want to make man in my own image. And sin's taken the image of God. Look at man now, slobbering. I went out to the jail in your city, sort of a pretty jail, got a nice location, but everybody out there wanted out. I mean, everybody. And they's grabbing me by the coattail, said, could you get me? And you everybody out there wanted, and I didn't see anybody out there wanting in. Isn't that strange? And yet I didn't notice any cats and dogs and cows and anything in there. There's just all people. Why? I tell you why. They've lost the image of God. And when they took on the image of the devil, they have to be separated from humanity. A man said to me, Brother Olaf, I've spent 11 years, 11 years. He's taken almost a fortune away from his precious mother and daddy. He's caused nothing but heartache and sorrow. And he said, I'm at the end of my trail. I don't believe I'll ever make it through. I believe I'll die before I'll come out of my next sentence. I don't think I'll ever walk out alive. I believe it's over. It's over. Wages of sin, death. Still death. And you know, every man that ever started drinking, he started drinking sociably. And then he became completely unsociable. Couldn't get along with his wife. Couldn't get along with his children. Couldn't get along in the community. Lost his job. Nobody wanted him. And yet they offered him a drink and said, would you have a little cocktail? You get on a big airplane, you know. You know what they do, especially if you ride first class. That's the reason I always ride second class. Of course, I want to save the money anyhow. Because after all, I get there about the same time they do. Don't bother me. And I'd rather ride second class because a lot of these, these elite boys, they get up there and they know they're going to serve cocktails to them up there, see? Well, man, I'd rather have a drink of plain water anytime than a bunch of poison. What kind of man would you like to be? 1 Samuel chapter 9, what kind of man would you like to be? Well, what kind of man are you tonight? Verse 6, 1 Samuel 9, 6. And he said unto him, behold, now, there is in this city a man of God. Think about that. I don't know, that just kind of registered on my soul. There's in this city right now a man of God. Brother, they were scarce back there then, and they're still scarce too. It's hard to find a real man of God. I mean a man that doesn't fear anything but the disfavor of God and doesn't desire anything but the righteousness of Christ. I mean, it's hard to find a real man of God that's sold out and completely dead to the world. Now, what kind of man would he be? There's in this city a man of God. Well, what kind of man is a man of God? Why, he's an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. A man of God's an honorable man. He'll pay his debts, treat his family right. He'll love his neighbor. And everything he says will come to pass. You just put her down. Brother, he'll never lie. He'll never lie. That's an honorable man. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about that old prophet. You know where that old prophet came from? He came from a woman that fell on her knees and fell down at the altar and she began to pray. And I want you to know she stayed on her knees till God said, all right, I'll give you a son. I'll give you a son. And listen, you know what she did? She gave that son to the preacher and said, now you train him. Give him the best there is to be given. That's Brother Samuel. Ah, no, one of the Lord said to little Samuel, Samuel? Samuel, he said, speak, Lord, thy servant's listening. Mothers and daddies, you might as well put it down. We're responsible for the way our children live. And I'll tell you who's to blame for every daddy, for every boy. I believe more than anybody else. Now, I know it's hard to say sometime, and it's heartbreaking, but listen, if you daddies would get as interested in your children as you are your cattle, or you'd get as interested in your family as you are your business, and realize that your main business is your family, I'll guarantee you we'd come up with better kids. We'd come up with better children. I mean, if you just say, now listen here, and be with my family, and pray with my family, and worship with my family, because I'll tell you what, you'll spend most of your money at the end of the trail trying to buy back what you sold out down the road. You watch and see. I know I've already been there. Listen, you can't imagine at the thousands and thousands. I've seen old gray-haired saints of God that spent every dime they got. Said, I can't pay off anymore. I can't hire any more lawyers. I can't fight through any more cases. It's already gone. Listen, you turn with me to the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I want to show you what happened. Now, God said, I want to make man in my own image, and he did. In the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, and verse 3, we find these words, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he's flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now then you go to the 7th verse, And the Lord said, I'll destroy what? Man, whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Did you know that everything on this earth has suffered to the extent that man has gone away from God? That includes the wife, the children, the animal creation. Everything suffers when man goes away from God. Now then, turn with me, please, to the 8th chapter, the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis, and verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. The ground was cursed for whose sake? Man's sake. And now then, the soil has been raped. It's been taken advantage of. We've just about ruined it, and now then we're trying to live off of poison soil. And America, with every hospital running over, every insane institution failed, every jailhouse, every penitentiary failed tonight. Why? Man got out of the will of God. Now then, I want you to look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now this is real, pointed, pungent, powerful preaching, and yet it was needed. There was a man in the Old Testament. The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. I think two of the greatest compliments ever paid any two men was the fact that Abraham was the friend of God and David was a man after God's own heart. You know, it used to bother me. I used to wonder, well, how in the world could David be a man after God's own heart? When he did what he did, he was guilty of adultery. He was guilty of murder. And he broke up a man's home. And what a sin. And yet God said, he's a man after my heart. But dear friend, if you'll read the life of David and count his tears and count his psalms, especially 51st Psalm, and that's one psalm all of us ought to memorize. If you'll memorize the 51st Psalm, you'll find out David is crying after the heart of God. Lord, my heart, oh, against thee and thee only have I done this evil and sinned against you. My sins, I acknowledge it's ever before you. And he just cries and cries and weeps. And you hear him praying almost like Jesus when he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he was saying, oh, Absalom, my son, Absalom. My boy is dead. And I imagine David went to bed a many a night weeping, crying, and saying, will I never stop reaping what I've sown? Brother, those old chickens sure did come home to roost. And America's chickens are coming home to roost tonight. Put her down. And there was a prophet. Yeah, that's right, a man of God. His name was Nathan. God said, Nathan, I want you to run an errand for me. Deliver a message. He said, yes, sir. I'm ready. And he marched off to the king, too, didn't he? And he came into his presence. He didn't say, your honor, I sure do regret to inform you, and it's hard to deliver this message. He just went in and said, King David, he said there was a rich man, said he had a lot of sheep, a lot of lambs, lot of cattle, said he just rolling in, said he had it made, said he's just in good shape. But he said, you know, down the road, there's a fellow worked for him, and he said, he got a little old ewe lamb. He didn't have any toys and so forth for the children. He got a little old ewe lamb and took it down there. Maybe the master gave it to him. And said that little old ewe lamb just kind of came up with his children, said it's tussled and played with it and had such a good time. And said, I guess it's about the nicest toy they ever had. And he said, you know, one day, King David said, the rich man up there on the hill said he had guests coming in. Said, my, tremendous guests. And he said, you know, I want the best meat that we can have. I mean, I want to serve a table. And he said, I tell you what we better do. You go down yonder and get that little old ewe lamb. I mean, it'll be sort of kitchen fed, you know, and home fed, and it's well cared for. You go down there and get that little old lamb and kill it, and I tell you, we'll put it on the table. And I mean, my imagination, of course, has gone down to that house many a time. And I followed the fellow down, the servant went down there, you know, and he said, to the man, said, I've come to get that lamb. Yes, sir. He said, sure. He said, what do you want? He said, the king wants it. He said, fine. He said, that's good. He thought the king, you know, was just going to kind of look at the lamb because it's in such good shape and say, now, this is a prize-winning lamb. You know, this is a thoroughbred and well cared for and everything. He said, we're going to kill. He said, what? Yeah, he said, we're going to have this for dinner tonight. He said, we got guests coming. He said, the king wants to kill. No, he said, you wouldn't do that, would you? Well, about that time, I hear all the little children start crying. They said, Daddy, you won't let him kill our little lamb, will you? It's all we got. It's all we got to play with. Said, why, the man said, listen, sir, excuse me, please. I sure don't want to be disobedient. But said, you know good and well, this little lamb's like one of my family. Said, I've nursed it, you know, I probably put it on a bottle and maybe just took care of it when it's a small mother of mine to die. Said, listen, look at the lambs and sheep and all that you got out across the pasture. No, said, he told me to get this one right here. Nathan said, you know, they drug that little old lamb up the road, and those little children were leaning up against the fence crying, tears was rolling. And said even the mother and the daddy stood there and tried to console their children and wept with them. The little lamb, boy, listen, old David, you know, he was the man, his hair's about sticking up. He said, who is the man? Who did that? Thou art the man. You're the man I'm talking about. That's preaching, isn't it? I mean, that's using the single-barrel shotgun. That's not scatter-loading, boys. That's what men need. That's what you and I need. He shot him in the heart. Did you know that? I mean, he riddled his heart. He said, David, you know good and well you lived in the palace. You had everything in this world that a king could ever. You've got power unlimited. You've had wives and selections and choices. You could have gotten anybody. But I tell you what you did. You climbed up on your big roof garden and turned on your little silly television set. And you looked down there and you saw Bathsheba. And she was rather exposed. And you lusted and you desired her and you took her. You knew she was another man's wife, the only wife he had, the only little lamb he had. And you took her up here and got her in sin. And now then she's expecting a baby. And now you sent her husband off to get him killed. You're the man! And David, I think, fell to his knees. Said, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. David could have killed Nathan as dead as a hammer, but he didn't. I think David said, I've killed all ever I want to kill. In my heart, he began to plead, brother, thou art the man. Let me ask you this tonight. How many of you men have hidden sin in your heart? You know good and well you're guilty before God. You've not been willing to confess or forsake and turn away from the sin that's blackened your soul. It may not be the sin of David, but it may be some little old nasty, ugly, filthy, ungodly, secret, crooked sin that you don't want anybody to know about, but God knows about it. Thou art the man, Nathan would say. Oh, listen to me. What about it tonight? What about it tonight? Now then, I want you to turn to John chapter 19, and I'd like to look at the real man. I'd like to look at the man of the ages tonight. I'd like for us to see the only man that's ever really met all of my needs. My daddy was the biggest man. I mean, the best man. And seemed like the most honest man, the hardest working man. I mean, my daddy had a lot of superlatives to him because I was his son, you know. And I mean, I respected my daddy. I thought he could pick more cotton, hoe more cotton, plow more cotton. He could just seem like do more things than anybody I've ever seen on the farm. I mean, he really got after it. And he taught us boys to work. But you know, there's some things my daddy could not do for me. I never was quite satisfied just to be the son of Mr. H.A. Roloff. I was miserable. I used to go out and come in, ashamed, disappointed, and in despair. Until one night, I met this man that I'm fixing to talk to you about tonight. And fellas, if you want to be a real, good, and godly man, you'll have to get introduced to this man. In the 19th chapter of the book of John, and verse 5, here it is. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. There he is. Yes, he's got a crown. He's wearing a crown. And thank God he's going to wear another crown one of these days. That old crown, instead of stars and diamonds, it had thorns. But he's the man. You know what kind of man he was? He was a man that was virgin born. You know what kind of man he was? He was a man that never sinned one time. You know what kind of man he was? He was a man that never had a place to lay his head, yet he never sounded a low note or felt sorry for himself. You know what kind of man he was? He was a man that loved everybody and was kind and respectable to women and the men and boys and would have been the finest husband and father that ever lived, and yet he never had a wife. He loved children more than any man that ever lived, and they'd sit all over his knees. He'd place his hands on their little heads and say, God bless you. God bless you. Oh, I can hear him now as he said, God bless your little old sweetheart. Oh, how precious are these children. His disciples said, why don't you get these kids back out of the way? He said, you permit little children to come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I love these little children. There's something mean about a man that won't love little children. Did you know that? I've always governed my ministry by two people. You know who they are? Grandpa and the little child. Those are the two people that have governed and judged my ministry. If the little children love me and believe in me and will listen to me and come back to hear me, and if old Grandpa, the old great top, I mean, if the man who's had the frost of many winters to settle on his old head, he's been through deep valleys and dark shadows, if that old man will come to me with that old feeble hand, and his old precious wrinkled-faced wife will come and slip her arm maybe over my shoulder and say, God bless you, son. You preach the truth. That crowd are on my first train. It's not this little bunch of wild outfits, you know. It's not this bunch of worldly folks that want to drift and sow their wild oats. They don't govern. They'll criticize, and they'll say, I think you're a little... You're out of line. Yeah, that's right. Somebody said the other day, a fellow was in a certain church, and he got up. He said, you're out of order. I said, whose order? I said, I believe I'm in God's order. And I do too. Dear friends, I found out that when I get over in God's order, I sure am out of order with a bunch of people left in this old land. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He said, behold the man. You know who this man is? He's God's son. He came all the way from glory, closed up heaven for a while, so far as he's concerned, left the fellowship of the Father and the hails of the angels for the males of wicked religious men. That's Jesus. Behold the man. Jesus never saw a case he couldn't solve, a doubt he couldn't erase, a soul he couldn't save, a child he couldn't heal, a blind man whose eyes he could not open, unstopped deaf ears, raised the dead, fed the multitudes, and made no charge. Behold the man. Brother, that's the man you need to know tonight. That's the man that I want to walk with tonight. All other men fade and pale into insignificance when Jesus comes walking up. Stood at the end of life's runway with that pure, sweet, precious, open face. Wept more than probably any man that ever lived because of men's sins. While they crucified him, he prayed for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Behold the man. Oh, that unusual, wonderful, eternal darling of God that came to give himself to make us men what we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all. His chin finally fell on his chest, and they said, he's dead. Take him down. But oh, listen, dear friend. They said, we better get somebody to guard that tomb. They got 16 soldiers. to take care of the lowly man of Galilee, dead, who wasn't even breathing, took his limp body. Those hands that had lifted the burdens, and broken the bread, and raised the dead. I said they took that man that healed all the sick, cared for the people like they'd never been cared for before. The multitudes followed him, leaned on his words. He saved Gadarene demoniacs. Yes, that man. And yet, you know what they charged him for that? Death. You know what religion said? We'll kill him. We'll kill him. And they did. Oh, they laid him in the tomb, dusted off their hands and said, well, it's good to be rid of him. He's caused us a lot of trouble. You're not rid of him yet. 16 big old soldiers gathered around that tomb and had their swords, and I can hear them now with their godless talk as they spit into the fire on that cool night and said, I'd like to see him get up. I wish he would. I'd whittle him down to his normal size. And about that time, the old Roman seal began to quiver. One of them looked over and said, am I seeing things? And 15 said, if you are, we are too. And all of a sudden, that old Roman seal cracked wide open, boys. Thank God for the power of Calvary. Blood of the everlasting covenant got a hold of Jesus, lifted him up. He walked out and said, good morning. The fellows fell back like dead men, like dead men. Behold the man, brother, that's the man. That's the man. I tell you, I'm glad I know him tonight. I'm glad he saved me. I'm glad he'd take a little old ignorant, sick country boy that didn't want to go to the meeting that night and grip my soul with his gospel and save me and wash my sins away, write my name in the Lamb's book of life, and set my feet on solid rock. Behold the man. I'm glad I know him tonight. He's my chiefest and choicest friend. He's the only man I ever met that met all of my needs. I got everything I was hungry for in one package when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That same wonderful man called me one Wednesday night to preach his gospel. Let me load a little Jersey cow in an old trailer, haul her off to Baylor, make my way through school. He healed my body and made me strong and gave me journeying mercies and open doors. And behold the man. Behold the man.
No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair who fill that heavenly train, who fill that heavenly train. He saw me plunge in deep distress, and he flew to my relief. For me he bore that old shameful cross, and he carried all my grief. He carried all my grief.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.